Jesus says no one is going to find a different way. There's not another way. And that's what we want to talk about as our first point. Simply, there is no other way. You can't get to heaven without Jesus. You can't live right without following the Word. You can't be a servant of God Most High. You can't be a child of God Most High if you're not born again. Jesus said there's no other way except by Him. You can't have God without Jesus. You can't have Jesus without His church. You can't have the way to heaven without following Him. And so that's what we want to look at. When He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by Me, He says there's no other way to get there. It doesn't matter how good you've been. We looked in our Sunday school this morning about the Pharisee and the publican. The Pharisee was the one that said, I thank God that I'm not like other men. And he told God how good he was. Then he looked over in the corner and said, I thank God I'm not like that poor fellow over there. I'm better off than he is. And so as we begin to look at the way, the truth, and the life, we understand Jesus says there is one way and only one way. Turn with me over to Isaiah chapter 35 and verse 8. We don't spend a lot of time in the Old Testament, but there's some great truths to be gleaned from there. Isaiah chapter 35 and verse 8, the Bible says, there's a highway shall be there and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. I want you to think about that. If you want to be on a road to unrighteousness or holiness, which way do you want to be on? He said, the unclean shall not pass over this highway to holiness, but it shall be for others, and whoever walks this road, although a fool, shall not go astray. Now, that doesn't sound right to us, except when we read it and understand what he's saying. It's pretty clear. He's saying there's a right way and there's a wrong way. You don't have to be the brightest candle on the in the box. You don't have to be the brightest fella in the world. You don't have to be the smartest, the most educated. If you'll walk God's way, you'll get there. You don't have to be what the world looks at as having achieved. You can be a fool as far as the world's concerned because it pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. Jesus says, I'm the way, and there's not another way. And so it suggests that we need to be on the highway of holiness. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13, Jesus says, enter in by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be who go by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few that find it. So we understand that there is one way, that Jesus is the way. There's a broad way. That's the wrong way. If you're going with everybody else, if you're following the world, it's a way to destruction. It's not a way to life. If you want to go the holy highway to holiness, it's not the most traveled road. It's not got the most people on it. But it's a road that goes to the right place. You got to be on the right road. You got to have to take the right way. You got to follow Jesus. I know that today people want to follow public opinion. They take polls and people decide it's right or wrong. They decide what's politically correct, whatever that means. And we're going to follow that path. We're going to not hurt anybody's feelings. Sin is hurtful if you go to hell, and if I let you go to hell, if I don't say something that there's a way that's right that cannot be wrong. Jesus said, I'm that way. And there's not another way to heaven except by Me. He kind of furthers that thought when he says that there's really no other gospel. The Apostle Paul talks about this. There's one gospel. The gospel means good news. There's just one good news that exists, and that's the good news that Jesus saves. In fact, if you turn over to Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6, Paul said as he's talking to the Galatians, I marvel that you're turning away so soon from Him who called you into the grace of Christ to a different gospel. Verse 7 says, which is not another gospel. There's just one gospel. There's just one way, just one right way. And when we go a different way, and when we try to update the gospel, we're updating the wrong thing, because the gospel is the same yesterday, today, and yea, forever. You don't need a new gospel. You need to get your life right with the old gospel. The old story is still the best story ever told. I want you to look at Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 and 9. When it brings up this idea of a different gospel. What do we mean by a different gospel? Well, people don't like the story of Jesus because it said, repent or you'll all likewise perish, Luke 13 and verse 3 and 5. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by Me. People don't like it because it's too hard or because it doesn't fit my category, my situation in life. Paul said, I can't believe it. I marvel that you are so quick to turn away from what God said. You know, I think about parents and children sometimes. And you contact a parent. I know those of you who've served in law enforcement have done this many times. You call a parent in the middle of the night and say, we've just picked up your son or your daughter. The answer comes by, oh no, not my son. Not my daughter. They're home in bed. Ma'am, would you mind going to check? They're not here. Police officer says, I know, they're with me. How'd they get there? Well, they probably got a ride in a squad car to get there. You see, people marvel that the children do wrong. I thought they were always doing right. God has His children, and Paul said, I marvel that when you heard the old story, the blessed story of Jesus, the way of salvation, that you decided to turn to something else. Some of them turned backwards to the old Jewish law. Some of them turned sideways to the pagan law. Some people turned all kind of ways to make up their own gospel. Paul says it's not another gospel. In the New Century Version, I want you to look at these points. He talks about believing something different than the good news. What does that mean? That means I can be saved without Jesus. I can be saved without church. I can be saved without obeying the gospel. Why would you go against what the gospel says? There's nothing better than the good news that Jesus came and died for us. In fact, he goes on to say, there is no other good news. By comparison, it doesn't matter what you've got. There's no good news compared to the fact that Jesus left heaven. He walked on the earth. He died on the cross. He rose from the grave to save your soul. That's good news, and there is no other good news. In fact, Paul was so adamant about it, he said, if we ourselves or even an angel from heaven should preach to you something different, we should be judged guilty. Even if I tell you I've changed my mind, I got it wrong, if it's not the old story, if it's not the gospel, if it's not written in the Word of God, it's wrong. Even if I change, if it's, I was mistaken, and you can go more than one way to heaven. You don't just need Jesus. You can believe in any of the, quote, little g gods out there you want to believe in, and you'll just be fine. It's not true. Even if an angel from heaven came and told you, Paul said, you've already accepted the good news. There's not another way. There's not another gospel. There's no better news than Jesus saves. When we look at what people are doing religiously, some people have rejected and said, I'm going to follow the way of the world. You know the best the world has to offer you? Is a nice funeral in the end. That's the best. If there is no God, if there is no eternity, if there is no heaven, the best you can hope for is a good funeral. And you may or may not get that. If you believe that you're reincarnated, you're coming back to this world in some different form, depending on what you believe, God says that you'll be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and you'll be in a place where there are no more tears, where the sins have been washed away, and where God Himself will wipe away those tears from your eyes. The good news is that Jesus loves you, and He died for you and gave you. That's the gospel. But the Bible says there's also no other foundation. You got to know what the foundation is. The foundation is what holds the whole building up. If you go to buy a house and you look at the house and the realtor says, there's just one thing, the foundation is cracked. That's why this house is so cheap. How many people that know anything about buying a house are going to buy a house with a cracked foundation? There's just one thing. There is no foundation here in the ground. It's been washed and it has a bad wash problem, but we put it up on stilts and you don't really need that good a foundation anyway. We've got a good floor. 1 Corinthians 3 verses 10 through 11. According to the grace which was given to me, Paul said, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one of you take heed how he builds on it, for no other foundation can anyone lay other than that which was laid, which is Christ Jesus. I want you to think about this for a moment. People offer you different things to believe in. Believe in science. I believe in science that's proved to be true, that's in accordance with the Word of God. I believe in mathematics. I believe in mathematics as long as they're done right. If I got to choose between God and science or mathematics or anything else, I'm picking God. There's not a better foundation. You can say we're trying this new material to make the foundation stronger. That's fine if it works, but if there's a foundation better than Jesus, it hasn't been found. Isaiah 28 and verse 16, Isaiah said, "Behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation." And he's talking about Jesus. I'm going to lay a solid rock for a foundation. If I were to ask you the question this morning, what is your foundation? What is it you believe on? What is it you're putting your life in? Into, are you putting your life into sports, into education, into money, into economies, into things that we have collected and gathered? Are we putting our hope in Jesus? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. What's the foundation of the person you are? Not just the foundation of your faith, but the person you are, how you react every day, how you live every day. Not what you do on Sunday, but what do you do on Monday and Friday and Saturday? Well, what do you do? How are you guided by right and wrong? Acts chapter 4 and verse 11 and 12 says, "This is the stone which was rejected by the builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." The chief cornerstone is Jesus. But you know what? The builders rejected Jesus. The Jewish world that he was promised to turned their back on him. And you think, how could they do that? But my question to you is, how can we do it today? Because I'm afraid that many do. They're rejecting Jesus for whatever reasons and foundation they've assumed to be true. But Jesus is the true foundation. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20. Paul talks about having been built on the foundation of the apostles, the prophet, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Now you can't build on another foundation other than Jesus. You need to be careful how you build on that foundation where the house will stand. The apostles were inspired by the Holy Spirit to tell people what to do and what to preach and how to say. So there's a foundation, but there's a building of the foundation, and that has to be based on the Word of God. Jesus is the foundation. Jesus is the chief cornerstone, not just a cornerstone, the chief cornerstone, the highest, the best, the only one that we can put our faith in. No other way. Just one way. No other foundation. Just one foundation. You build your life on philosophy, it will fail. You build your life on Jesus, it will take you to heaven. But there's something else. There's no other name like His name. I want you to think about that in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. The Bible says, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." It's not Buddha. It's not New Age. It's not Old Age. It's not philosophy of men. It's not Socrates. It's not whoever you want to find out historically or who's going to come in the future. It's not whoever writes the next book. If it's not Jesus, there is no other name that salvation can be found in. It's not a preacher's name. I don't care who the preacher is. It's not an elder's name. I don't care who the elder is. It's the name of Jesus that saves, and there is no other name. Remember that song, "There is a name I love to hear, I love to sing its worth"? I wonder how much we do love Jesus. Is it the sweetest name on earth to you? How do you approach His name when you talk of Him? With reverence and awe. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9, Paul said, "Therefore God has also highly exalted Him, and given Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and on earth, of those under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father." There is a name that's exalted above every other name. Now I want you to know He's talking about in heaven, on earth, and those who've already dead and been buried. That's what the passage says. There's not another name like His name. One of the things that often escapes people in the story of the birth of Christ, both Matthew and Luke both record it. In Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse 21, the angel is talking to Mary. The angel says that she will bring forth a son. The angel says, "You shall call His name Jesus, for He will save His people from their sins." So all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall bear a child, and they shall call His name Emmanuel." which is translated God with us. When Jesus came to the planet, God was with us. And He remains with us today. It's not a good prophet that came down, though he was a great prophet. It's not a rabbi, though he was a great teacher. It's not a healer, though he was a great healer. Not a miracle worker. It is the name by which we must be saved. It is God with us. His name is Emmanuel. Because that's the form that God came and walked on the earth in. It's in the form of Jesus. There's an old song by the Gaithers. I'm not going to attempt to sing it. I'm going to spare you that. But the lyrics are, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim, kings and kingdoms shall pass away. But there's something about that name. I want you to know Jesus. I want you to know that His name is different. That there's not another name like it anywhere on the earth. The word Jesus is the Greek form of the Hebrew Joshua, which means Savior. So if you put Savior and Emmanuel and you put all this together and in Christ, you've got the Savior, the promised Savior, the Messiah, the promised one, the Savior, because He is God with us. When you put that all together, you can see there's not another name like His name. But there's one other thing I want to tell you. There's no other hope. There's no other hope for this world, and there's no other hope for you other than the name of Jesus, other than the way of Jesus, other than the foundation of Jesus. There's no hope. Hebrews 6 and verse 19 says, this hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence beyond the veil. We have an anchor, our faith, but that anchor is the hope we have in Jesus. Now this hope is different than what we say when we use the word hope. I hope I'm going to get to go to this ball game. I hope I'm going to get to go to this fellowship meal. I hope I'm going to get to go to the birthday party. I hope I'm going to be the football player. I hope I'm going to get all these earthly things that we hope for. That's what we want. In Vine's Expository Dictionary of Biblical Words, the word hope is defined this way. Favorable and confident expectation. This isn't a wish, it's a hope. I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed in Him against that day. It's good, and I know that what He's promised is going to happen. I know that it's going to come to be just the way He said it was. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27, Paul wrote, he said, God will make known to you the riches of His glory and the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Glory is heaven. You want to have the hope of going to heaven? You got to have Christ in you. And you in Christ, for you to put on Christ in baptism, according to Galatians 3 and verse 27. So the question is, who hopes in God? What do you hope in? The fastest car? The strongest weightlifter? The sharpest mind? The highest degree? The most popular movie star? Listen to the psalmist in Psalm 146. In verse 5 it says, happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is the Lord his God. I love Adam Beasley, and I can go down this row and pick out everybody in this room and say that I love you in the Lord, and I love you, and we've been together, and I think you'd be there, and I think you'd have my back, and I think if we got in trouble, you'd help me out. But my hope out of this world is in the Lord. You're not going to do it for me, and I'm not going to do it alone. There's no other way, Jesus said, except by me. There's no other foundation, for other foundation can no man lay. There's no other hope but in the Lord. Turn with me back to the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 17, starting in verse 7. The text reads this way. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious for the year of drought, nor will he cease from yielding fruit. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. When I consider the hope that's laid before us, do you have a hope that strengthens you against the drought, that supplies you before the trouble comes? Because there are going to be droughts in your life. Most of you have already experienced a few, haven't you? From hard times, sometimes when I wasn't as close to God as I need to be. Sometimes when I wasn't as close to my family as I should be. Sometimes when I felt like nobody cared about me. Sometimes when I had a business failure. Sometimes when I had a setback in my health. If my hope wasn't in the Lord, where could it be? Blessed, happy is a man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord. I don't know what's going to happen to me today. I don't know what's going to happen to me tomorrow. But my hope is in the Lord, that He'll carry me through whatever valley there is. We mentioned earlier in the announcement, Herbie McCall's got his funeral this afternoon over in Elba. Herbie's a good man, young man, just turned 49 last week. As far as I know, been in fairly good health, had some problems last year they looked at. But in a matter of less than a week, this man passed from this life. And all the doctors could do couldn't save him. Sometimes I feel like we're Humpty Dumpty when all the king's horses and all the king's men camp Humpty together again. And that's why my hope is in the Lord, because He can do all things. And He can take me to a better world than this if I need to go. Look at Psalm 71, verse 5. The psalmist says, "For you are my hope, O Lord God, you are my trust from my youth." You know, you can come to faith at any time, but when you've grown up with faith, it makes it a lot stronger. Psalm 78 and 7 says that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God. We can hope in Him because He's proven to be true. And then finally, our final scripture for this day is in Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. Now may the Lord God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This verse is bookended by the concept of hope. It's my prayer that you abound in hope this morning. Because Jesus is the way and there's no other way. Because He's provided us all things that pertain unto godliness. Because He'll be the foundation. He'll answer all the questions of life. And I know that He can take me to heaven. And I know He can forgive my sins. And I know if I'll be born again, I can be His child. This morning, if you've not ever obeyed the gospel and you want to become a Christian, you know God's word and you've built a faith upon that word, you've changed your life, we call that repentance. You're willing to confess Jesus before the world, He'll confess you before the Father and before the angels in heaven. Then you need to be born again of the water and the Spirit. There's one baptism that we need to take part in. That's what Ephesians says. So if you've done that, then you're added to the family of God with the instruction to live faithful unto death. And I will give you, He says, a crown of life. And if you haven't been able to live faithful, you can come back home because that's what He wants. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. This morning, if you're outside of the safety of God's love, it's not because it's not there. It's because you've stepped away from it or you've never stepped into it. This morning, if you want to accept Him in primary obedience, if you want to come back and need the prayers of the church, we've assembled and we'll pray with you and for you. If we can help you in any way, won't you come while we stand and while we sing?